Well, I want to welcome you to a unique carol service because this is the smallest one we've had since I've been here. I think the snow has probably put quite a few people off, but thank you for those who braved it. But it's lovely to have you with us. We are going to be few, but we've got some backing singing on the backing tracks, so that will swell our volume. The service kind of runs itself, so it's a reading followed by a carol. There's a short video in the middle and a short talk at the end. But we have got some mulled wine at the end, so do stay on some mulled wine. And guaranteed to get warmed up before you get back. Well, why don't I just open in prayer, and then Mary-Ann will come and give our first reading. Father God, thank you for this evening, and Lord, we thank you for the beauty of an evening like this. And even though it means that there's not so many with us, we pray, Lord, for us who are here, we pray the readings and the carols will encourage our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you'll meet with us. So please bless us and help us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Things fulfilled among us. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught.
Give them Mary is told about Jesus. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be barren, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary, and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. Oh, morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter.
the angel announces the news to Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued the decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quintus was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up to the town of Nazareth in the Galilee of Judea to Bethlehem and the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn.
The announcement to the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
God rest you, Mary, gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Jesus Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. All tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. All tidings of comfort and joy. Our heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy. The shepherds at those tidings rejoiced much in mind, and left their flocks a-feeding in tempest, storm and wind, and went to Bethlehem straightway the blessed babe to find. Tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, oh you within this place, and with true love and charity each other now embrace. This holy tide of Christmas, all of this shall replace. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and
joy. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to that perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to that perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns the deity now. Is raising, worshipping God on high. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone-cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received, one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore.
Now, I'd like you to imagine for a moment walking home one day, perhaps after work, and you walk past a circus. And there you see several blindfolded children clambering all over an elephant. One is on its trunk, another is clutching one of its legs, one is hanging on the tail, and another is clinging to its ears. And as you get closer, you hear them arguing. The one on the trunk says, "It's a fire hose." while the one hugging its legs just laughs and says, "It's more like a tree trunk." Confused, one on the tail thinks it's a thick piece of rope. And the one hanging off the ears believes everyone has gone mad because it must be banana leaves. And as you pass by, the children hear you there with your footsteps, and they call to you and they ask, what do you think it is? Now, there are three ways that you can respond. You could avoid their question and refuse to comment. You could say that they are probably all correct, or you could say that they're all wrong. Now, this story and the three responses illustrates the way that people think differently about God. There are some who think we should just avoid the issue. You see, the world is full of people who think differently about God. People think differently about who or what God is and what God is like, just like those children clambering all over the elephant with their different opinions. They're all the established religions of the world that say different things, and then every individual seems to have a slightly different view of what this elephant called God is like. And with such confusion and arguing, some just try to avoid the question altogether and not enter into the debate. But the problem with this response is that it never leads to any answers. And of course, we all have the right to have no interest in questions about God, but that's not an answer. Another possible answer that some give is to accept every view of God there is. To accept every view. And for many, this is the best solution because it shows tolerance and acceptance, saying all religions are true. And of course, it's popular because it discourages arguments. But there's a problem with this response, because it fails to recognise that most religions contradict each other. People have vastly different ideas about God. For instance, Judaism says there's only one God, whereas Hinduism says there are millions of different gods. Now, I'm not great at maths, but even I know that millions and one are not the same idea. Either one is right and the other is wrong, or both are wrong, but they can't both be right. Yet bizarrely, many today seem to accept all views of God as true, even if they contradict each other. Well, if preferring not to engage in debate is of no help, and accepting all views of God makes no real sense, then maybe just rejecting everyone's view of God as false is best. As John said in that reading I just read from his gospel, he said, "No one has ever seen God." So to attempt any attempt of man to try and explain what God is like will always be mere guesswork. As answers about God are impossible to fathom with any certainty, it is best, some say, to just reject all views about God altogether. But before we dismiss any hope of knowing if there is any God and what this God might be like, there's something we need to consider. You see, what if instead of people having their thoughts about God, what if instead God revealed himself to us? What if the God that we cannot see has made himself known? Let me explain what I mean. Say I ask you to guess what my new friend Colin looks like. Now, if you know me, you probably know that I like windsurfing and I like cycling. So perhaps you think he's a windsurfing or cycling pal of mine. And knowing my age and interests, you assume he's probably also middle-aged, probably going through a midlife crisis, and likes dressing in neoprene or lycra. And you begin to piece an idea together of what Colin might be like. However, if I gave you a photograph of Colin, you wouldn't need to speculate about him. You could see what he looked like. The photo would reveal him. And here he is. This is Colin, my young cockerel, whom we hatched from an egg a few months back. He greets me every morning. And the photo of him clearly reveals his identity. It ends all speculation about Colin. And as I think you'll agree, he's a handsome fella. Well, similarly, if God were to reveal himself, it would end all speculation about him. And so the question is, has God ever personally revealed himself? Is there, if you like, a photo of God? That's the astonishing claim at the heart of Christmas. That the invisible God has revealed himself by becoming a man and stepping into history. That's why we'll sing in a moment those words from Hark the Herald Angels Sing, where it says, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Later in John's Gospel, one of Jesus' disciples, Philip, asks Jesus to show them, and him and the other disciples, God the Father. And Jesus answered, he said, don't you know me, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You see, Jesus is claiming to be God's photo. It's why John says at the start of his biography of Jesus' life, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. And if that's the case, then I guess it means the guessing games about God are now over. Of course, to make such a claim, you might expect the baby born in a manger to have grown up into a madman or an evil liar. Because if this claim about him is not true, then those are the only two options for a person who has made such a staggering claim. Or he could actually be who he claimed to be, God's photo. If he was, you would think that his life, his teachings, his actions would be able to back up such an incredible claim. And having looked at his life for many years now, still the only conclusion that seems to make sense to me is that Jesus really is God in human flesh. And if God has a photo, so to speak, wouldn't you want to see it? Every year, Christmas reminds us again that God has revealed himself. At Christ Church, we regularly put on a course to help people investigate the person of Jesus and the staggering claim behind his birth at Christmas. It's called Christianity Explored. And if you'd be interested in doing this course in the new year, please speak to me afterwards. There's no praying that takes place in the course. There's no singing. It's just having a look at one biography of Jesus' life, Mark's Gospel. And it's reading a few chapters, asking some questions together, and gives anyone who comes along the chance to ask any questions they would like about the person of Jesus and the Christian faith. It's as simple as that. And if that's something you'd be interested in doing, please have a chat with me afterwards. We're going to sing together our final carol. Hail, hail, hark even. Hark the herald angels sing. Let's stand and lift our voices.
Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations. nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold Him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased is man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the hand-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
And so may the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the eternal Christ be yours this Christmas. And may the blessing of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.